last few weeks since Easter, we have been reading. This is the frustrating piece about the way the church has arranged the lectionary. We're on two different tracks right now. If you pay attention to the first reading, we're going through the Acts of the Apostles from the events of Pentecost until the end of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And in the Gospels, we're reading the events that happen from the resurrection of the Lord until the ascension. Well, Pentecost is in, you know, what, 3-4 weeks? We ain't got there yet. But this is the time the church has given us to read from the Acts of the Apostles. So don't pay too close of attention to that, because it will mess you up, right? What we're reading in the first reading, since Easter, has been the preaching of the apostles, the events of the descent of the Holy Spirit, but also the preaching of the apostles after they have been given the Holy Spirit. And St. Peter gets up in front of the crowd. I think last weekend we had the famous reading where they say, these men are drunk. They've been drinking too much wine. And St. Peter goes, it ain't even 9 a.m. Who drinks that much wine before 9 a.m? That was his entire argument before the crowds. Apparently it worked because they listened. It says they were cut to the heart and 3,000 of them were baptized that day. So what does Peter say? Well, in the snippet of his homily, of his preaching from that day that we're given to read for today, he says, brothers and sisters, there is no other name under heaven and earth by which you are saved except in the name of Jesus Christ. And to us, that, yes, almost duh, of course, there is no other name under heaven and earth under which we are saved. There's only one name of God. There's only one God who could save us, right? But you got to remember, there were many gods in the world of St. Peter at that time. One might be saved by the name of one of the Roman gods. More importantly, they would put their faith in the Roman emperor, that he would protect them and that they would be safe and have salvation because of his armies. Now, of course, there's no human empire that's felt vulnerable. They've always been felt safe in their armies and in their fortifications. And yet every one of them has fallen. It would take the Romans another 400 or so years for that to happen. And its fall would shake the whole world. But it fell nonetheless. Don't put your hope in men. Look at the stuff that people put their hope in for salvation. Political leaders, financial regimes, get-rich-quick schemes, AI. Brothers and sisters, all of our greatest creations are only ever going to be our creations. Even our greatest brothers and sisters are only ever going to be one of us. With the exception of Jesus Christ. So what does it look like? Probably easier to say, what does it look like to put your faith in something that is not God than what it is to say to put your faith? When we put our faith in things that are not God, we often ask these created realities to do much more than what they can actually do. Amazon's a great thing. It's good that it exists. It really is. But some of my friends, they buy stuff off of Amazon just to get the rush of getting something in the mail. That wears off and is ultimately fairly meaningless. Now, admittedly, it does feel nice to get something in the mail. It really does. Especially if you're like me and you forget you ordered it. It's like sending a present to myself from a stranger. It's a weird event. It's not supposed to happen that way. Amazon subscription is a really, really amazing deal. I forget that stuff's supposed to be coming into me all the time. New car is awesome. Television's great. The internet's been amazing. But if you ever watch the way you feel after you've spent an hour, 2 hours on the internet, that empty, desolate feeling, you've been asking it to make you happy. It's like trying to eat cotton candy for dinner. It may fill you up, but ultimately it leaves you empty. Probably with diabetes too, but ultimately it's not food. It's not nourishment. What does it mean to put your faith? What does it feel like? What does it look like to put your faith in Jesus Christ with something more? Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it demands something of you. But then your life is suddenly wrapped around the truth. And you're capable of flourishing in a way that you weren't before. Because if you're only expecting the stuff of this life to make you satisfied, it can't. It just can't. It doesn't have the power. It runs out of energy. But we're made for paradise, right? Well, all of a sudden, if you can exchange time or money or sufferings, sacrifices in this life for eternal life, that's an infinite exchange. This is how the martyrs went to their death. This is how the great saints fought heresies. This is how they fought armies in the name of Jesus Christ. Battles and persecutions, lies and slander and calumny. Because they were confident that when Jesus Christ said, I'm going to come back and bring you to my Father, they trusted that what their friend had told them was true. And when they taught their friends and their followers, this man, Jesus, whom I knew, he's coming back. They trusted in their friend and teacher. And throughout generation after generation after generation after generation, the compiled wisdom and teachings of Christian faithful have been handed on to you. You might trust them and put your hopes not in this world, but in the next world. Because that's what satisfies. Not what merely feels subjectively, physically good in this life, but what is good. And sometimes you can't run away from the things that make you uncomfortable. The difficult stuff. The Lord comes to you and, I gotta change this piece about my life. There's this person I can't talk to anymore. There's this person I need to start talking to. Or there's this thing I just don't want to do that now I need to start doing it. Yeah, it's gonna hurt. Yeah, it's gonna be awkward. Yeah, you may have to give up some things you've held very passionately close to your heart. Pains and wounds and hurts and heartaches. Yeah. But holding on to that stuff is not going to save you. It doesn't keep you safe. It feels good, sure. But it won't satisfy you. And it won't set you free to flourish. And so today, as we move into the Eucharist, this is the exchange, right? The church fathers talk about the marvelous exchange. You take ordinary bread and wine, and in fact, but like more than ordinary, like this, there's nothing special about the bread that we use, the wine that we use. It's rather, I don't want to say cheap, but it's not a $100 bottle of wine. We use it for Mass, y'all. And what we get back for that exchange is the flesh and blood of God, so that you and I might be nourished and not grow weak or weary. That's what we're coming to. That's what it means to let the Lord be your salvation and nothing else.